You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we focus on the Bible and invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach.
Welcome to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. We're in between Season 11 and Season 12, which will start, Lord willing, on January 15th. During the break between seasons, we're posting audio sermons each week instead of the regular episodes. The sermon for this week is titled, Holy and Reverend is His Name, and was preached on June 10th, 2018 at the Eastside Church of Christ in Morgantown, Kentucky. As with the other lessons we post, I invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach. With that being said, here's this week's lesson. If you would turn your Bibles to Psalm 111, we're going to be looking at this whole psalm really for the part of the lesson, but we're focusing on one verse in this psalm where we're talking about the name of God and how we are to treat and regard the name of God. While you're turning there, I'll mention that this evening, Lord willing, what we're going to be talking about is sometimes a confusing topic and can be a controversial topic. We're going to be looking at the work of the Holy Spirit and what the Scriptures teach about that. So, Lord willing, that's what we're going to talk about this evening. So I invite you all to come back and we can study that lesson together. Here in Psalm 119, verse 9, it says that He has sent redemption to His people. He has ordained His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. Or other translations say, holy and reverend is His name. This text here has the psalmist emphasize the importance of God's people honoring the name of God. Yet we hear too often people in the world, people who are not religious, they will mock the name of God, they will disregard God, they will carelessly invoke the name of God. And while we commonly hear this, we hear this from people in the world all of the time, we need to be careful as Christians with the language that we use. It is not common for Christians to openly disparage the name of God, but it is common at times to hear Christians use the name of God in a casual way or a flippant way. And so it's important that we understand and appreciate what this passage is teaching us. And so that's what I want us to talk about for our lesson this morning. And so when we look at that phrase there in verse 9 of Psalm 119, What does this mean? What do these words mean? When it says that holy and reverend or awesome is His name. Well, that word holy, and this is a word that we see in other places in the Bible. It's commonly used. And so we may be familiar with this, the definition of this word. Holy means that it is sacred. That means it is set apart. That is different from other words that may be used. And other names that other people may have, that the name of God is something that's different than my name or your name. It's something that is sacred. It's something that is set apart. When it says that His name is reverend, or I read from the New American Standard, it said awesome is His name. That word there, it means that that His name is reverend or His name is awesome. It means that it is worthy of fear, worthy of reverence, of honor, and of respect. And then when we talk about His name, these would be the words or the terms that are used to identify God. This could be God, it could be Father, or it could be Jehovah. We could talk about the Lord, we could talk about Jesus Christ or Jesus Christ. All of these that are used to identify God, these are the things that we're talking about. And so when we look at this verse here, and particularly the last part of that verse, where it says, holy and awesome or reverend is His name. This is what it's talking about. We talk about the name of God, how God is identified. Whether we call Him Jehovah, we call Him Lord, we call Him Christ, whatever it is, that name. Even if we just use the name God, when we use that name to identify God, we need to remember that that is not something that should be used casually and without any thought given to it. His name is holy. His name is reverend. It means it is set apart. It is sacred. It is worthy of respect and honor and fear on the part of really all men, but particularly for us as God's people. We need to recognize this about the name of God. So then as we look here in Psalm 111, we looked at Psalm 111, verse 9 mentions or talks about this phrase that we're focusing on for this lesson. Holy and awesome or reverend is his name. Why do we regard his name this way? What is it about God that makes it so that we regard his name this way? Why not my name? Why not your name? Why is it the name of God that is to be treated differently and to be treated in this way? Well, there are a lot of passages that we can look at in the scriptures that would give reasons for that, but I don't want to take time this morning to go to all sorts of different passages to make this point of why we regard his name this way. I want us to stay here in Psalm 111 and see what the psalmist says, why he reaches this conclusion at the end, that holy and reverend is his name. What is it that he puts forth in this psalm that led him by inspiration and also should lead us as we read these things to recognize that God's name is sacred and God's name is to be revered? Verse 1, it says, "Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, in the company of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. Splendid and majestic is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He has given food to those who fear him. He will remember his covenant forever. He has made known to his people the power of his works, in giving them the heritage of the nations. The work of his hands are truth and justice. All his precepts are sure. They are upheld forever and ever. They are performed in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever." These verses here in this psalm mention several reasons why we are to honor the name of God, why we are to respect the name of God. And so as we go through these, we won't spend a lot of time talking about these, but as we just read, why are we to regard the name of God this way? Well, we saw in verse 2, because of his great works. Great are the works of the Lord. We think of what he did in creation. We think of what he has done in order to sustain us. And we'll talk about that here more in just a minute. But we look at what he has done, as who he has shown himself to be. Great are his works. His name is to be held as sacred and revered. Verse 3, it talks about his righteousness endures forever. Verse 3 also, really, first part continues the idea of verse 2 about his great works. Splendid and majestic is his works. But then it says his righteousness endures forever. God is righteous. And the ways of God are righteous, or they are right, and they are that way and will be that way forever. That God's ways are never wrong. God's ways are never corrupt. God's ways never have to be changed because he needs to make things better than they were before. His righteousness that is found in him and in his word endures forever. We see that he is to be honored and his name is to be held in reverence because he is gracious and compassionate. Verse 4, he is gracious and compassionate to us, that he has shown kindness to us despite our sin, despite our shortcomings, despite the times where we do not honor him as we should. He is gracious and compassionate to us. We also see there in verses 5 and 6 that he blesses his people. He gives food to those who fear him. And he will remember his covenant forever. He gives them the heritage of the nations in verse 6. That God did not only create this world and prove himself to be one who is able to do this, but has made a world where we can continue to prosper, that we can be blessed. God blesses his people. We are to honor him and regard his name as holy and reverent. Verses 7 and 8, it talks about how he upholds truth and justice, that he supports what is right, not what is wrong. He upholds those things, that he is a God of justice, of doing what is right and what is fair with all people. He upholds them forever. In verse 9, as we started with this verse, we were focused on the last part of this verse, but also the beginning part of this verse talks about redemption. He has sent redemption to his people and has ordained his covenant forever. God's people are his special people. They are people that are set apart. Now, when this was written, this was talked about the Jewish people. And as we serve God today, we know that circumcision is not the basis on who are God's people, or the bloodline of Abraham are not the basis of who makes up God's people, but those who are his descendants by faith, those who are his people, who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. So this applies to us today as well, that we have been redeemed by him. And also we read in verse 10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That by honoring God and treating God in this way, respecting the name of God in this way, there is a benefit for us as well. That the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is the path to wisdom. This is the path to understanding, to good understanding. You have all those who do his commandments, his praise endures forever. The proverb writer talked about in Proverbs 9 and verse 10 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, or the beginning of knowledge, as it says in Proverbs chapter 1, that this leads to obedience, a good understanding have those who do his commandments. The fear God and keep his commandments is the whole duty of man, as Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 talks about. We do these things. We honor God. We treat him in this way. And we see earlier in the psalm, in Psalm 85 and verse 9, it says, surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. So you look at all of these reasons why we are to honor God, why we are to regard his name in this way. A lot of it has to do with who God is and what he has done for us. But also the last verse of this psalm, in Psalm 111 and verse 10, it tells us that not only are we to treat God in this way because he is worthy of this, but there is a benefit for us as well. This is how we gain wisdom. This is how we gain understanding. This is how we can obtain salvation, by treating God and honoring God in this way. And so as we think about this concept, this idea that is set forth in Psalm 111 and verse 9, that God's name is holy and awesome, or holy and reverent, sacred, set apart, worthy of fear and honor and respect. This is true about the Word of God. But there is, in the Old Testament, we read about a law that is based upon this fact. I mentioned just a minute ago in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, we are to fear God and keep his commandments. This is generally true. If we fear God and have the type of fear that we ought to have, this is going to lead us to keep his commandments in general. This is a very generic passage in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. But here in Psalm 111 and verse 9, this is talking about a specific way in which we show respect for God. That if we fear him, not only are we going to generally keep his commandments, which is true, but Psalm 111 and verse 9 talks about a specific way that we do this, that we regard his name as holy and reverent. And if you look back in the Old Testament, in your Old Testaments, in Exodus chapter 20, when the Lord gave the Ten Commandments, this was one of the Ten Commandments, or the one of them that was given. The reason for it was based upon this fact that God's name is holy and reverent. Because of this, the third commandment was given. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7 says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. What's interesting here is that this is the commandment. This is the law that was given. The reason for it is found in Psalm 111 and verse 9. Well, Psalm 111 verse 9 was not written when this was given. The reason existed long before this. From the beginning, God's name is to be treated as holy and reverent. That was not something new. When the psalmist wrote that in Psalm 111, that wasn't a new law. God's people were always to treat him in this way. And when this commandment was given in Exodus 20 and verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Why? Well, because his name is holy and reverent. That has always been the case. And that's why this commandment was given now. So what does this mean? What does it mean? What when God told them in Exodus 20 and verse 7 as the third of the Ten Commandments, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. What was he talking about? What was it that they were not to do? How were they not to treat the name of God so that they would not violate this law? Well, there's a few things that are involved in this. Not taking the name of the Lord God in vain means not swearing by the name of God. It means not irreverently using his name. It also means not offering thoughtless worship or praise to him. A lot of times when we praise God today and would be true then, we offer praise to God, we are invoking the name of God. We are singing songs that use the name of God. We talk about God or the Lord or things like that. Even today, we sing songs like that. Well, the same was true for them. They would offer praise to God. But if they were offering praise that was thoughtless, that they weren't singing from the heart or praying from the heart or praising God in this way, then they would be just as guilty of taking the name of the Lord in vain because they weren't using it in the way that they should have in treating it as holy and reverent. They were treating it as something that was common and that could be disregarded and not really thought about. They could treat his name in this way. And so this was the law that was based on this fact that God's name is holy and reverent. Now, the question we need to ask is this: does this still apply today? These passages that we've been looking at, Psalm 111 and Exodus chapter 20, these passages are found in the Old Testament. And we know from passages like Colossians 2 and verse 14 that the old law has been nailed to the cross, that God has taken it out of the way. He has nailed it to the cross. And so we need to understand that when we look at passages like this in Exodus 20 and Psalm 111, we need to understand that the law has been nailed to the cross. But we also need to understand that some commandments were carried over into the new law. You look at Exodus 20 and verse 13, and this is not the only one here, but just as an example, Exodus 20 and verse 13 says, "You shall not murder." Well, does the fact that that is in the old law mean that, well, we're free to murder today because that law was nailed to the cross? No, we can go to the New Testament and see that we are to still obey this command, not because it's in the Ten Commandments, but because it's the law of God for us today. Passages like Romans chapter 13 and verse 9 condemn murder, and so we are not to commit murder because God condemns that now just as he did then. There are other commands, like in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The old law was nailed to the cross. This is a command that was never carried over into the new covenant, into the law of Christ. Nowhere do you read about the church keeping the Sabbath day. Nowhere do you read about the apostles teaching Christians that they were to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Instead, what we see, they met on the first day of the week. They assembled then. They observed the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. That was the day that they were to focus on. That was the day where they were to assemble together to observe the Lord's Supper, to give of their means as they worshiped God together. That was the day that was the focus. That was the day that Christ was raised from the dead. The Sabbath day was one that they were to remember under the law of Moses, but it wasn't carried over into the new law. And so as we look at this third commandment in Exodus 20 and verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. This commandment is not explicitly stated in the New Testament. But what we see when we look at the New Testament, we can infer that it still applies. And this is important, that when we think about this commandment, remember, Psalm 111 and verse 9 is the reason why Exodus 20 and verse 7 was given. The reason why they were not to take the name of the Lord your God in vain was because his name is holy and reverent. So that was true before this law was given, and that is still, as we're going to see, still true today. And so the reasons that we know that, even though this is not explicitly stated, we can know that this still applies because the reason why the commandment was given is true now just as it was true then, just as it was true from the beginning. Why were they to treat God's name as holy and reverent? Why were they not to take his name in vain? Well, because God is holy. God was holy, and we see in the New Testament, the same is still true today. God is still holy. We studied from 1 Peter chapter 1 in a series of lessons recently, and we saw in 1 Peter 1 and verse 15, it says, "But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." He's quoting from the Old Testament there, from the book of Leviticus, but Peter is making it clear, this is still true. God is still holy. We see also in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, that God is still to be revered, or still to be honored, still to be respected. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, it says, "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe." We are still to treat God in this way. We are still to revere Him. We are still to fear Him and respect Him. But also in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, what we see here, Paul is making the point here that not only do we honor God and we fear God and we respect Him, but this also means that His name is to be treated with reverence and respect. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "For this reason also God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth." When the Lord returns in judgment, it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Well, we know that there are a lot of people in the world who don't respect the name of God. They don't honor the name of the Lord. They don't treat His name as being of any importance. But the day is going to come when they will all bow before Him. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Why are they going to do this? Because His name is to be treated as holy and worthy of reverence. If that's true when the Lord returns, that even those who are the enemies of Christ are going to bow before Him then that is certainly true for us as Christians, that we are to treat His name even now as being worthy of honor and respect. And so as we look at this, that yes, it's true that we look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, that's one of the Ten Commandments, and that law was nailed to the cross. But as we've seen, some of the commandments from the Old Testament were carried over into the New Testament. And this commandment, that we are not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain, it's not explicitly stated in the New Testament. But we see the reasons behind this, the reasons why this commandment was given, are still true today just as they were then. We can infer that this still applies today. And so then, as we understand that it does still apply, the question then becomes, how do we apply this today? If we are not to treat God's name in a way that is irreverent, or to treat His name in a way that is not showing honor and respect to Him, how do we apply this? Well, it means, number one, we are not to take God's name in vain. It's a simple explanation, is that we are not to take His name in vain. That we are not to use the language that the world uses. And we know what it is when people say this, when they use God's name in vain. Christians are not to do this. But it also means, as we looked at the definition of what it means to take God's name in vain in Exodus 20 and verse 7, that means swearing by His name. That people will say, "Well, I swear to God." Well, that's not a way that we're to use His name. We are not to swear by His name. We're not to use His name irreverently as simply an exclamation or an expression that is meaningless, that means nothing. There are people today who, with the rise of technology and people shortening the way that they type in on their phones or on the computers, they use acronyms for things, and there are a lot of people who will type the OMG acronym. Well, OMG means the same thing as if they were saying the Lord's name in vain. We can't say, "Well, it's an acronym, so it doesn't mean the same thing." No, it does mean the same thing. Just as if I told you I was expecting a package today that's going to be delivered by UPS, everyone knows what UPS is. No one's thinking that I'm expecting a package to be delivered by Uncle Paul's scooter. Everyone knows it's the United Parcel Service. And when we use the acronym OMG, everyone knows what that means. And Christians may try to, you know, sometimes excuse that and say, well, we're not actually using the name of God. Everyone knows it means the same thing. And so when we think about using the name of God, not using it irreverently, that would include those types of things. And also, one of the definitions for this was offering thoughtless praise to God. This relates in two ways. One, to our worship, that we need to make sure that when we are singing songs of praise to God, that we are worshiping in spirit and in truth. We're not just singing these words and not thinking about them, not our mind is 100 miles away thinking about something else. We need to focus our minds and on the reason why we're here and what we're singing, because if we're singing the name of God, invoking the name of God, but we're not doing this in spirit and in truth, well, we are, in essence, using God's name in vain, because we're not using it for the way it's intended. Also, there are a lot of times you'll hear people use the term hallelujah. Well, what does hallelujah mean? It means praise Jehovah or praise the Lord. But a lot of times you hear that in a way that has nothing to do with praising God. It's just an exclamation that it's just something good happened, and they're not thinking about God at all. But they say hallelujah. Well, hallelujah means praise God. Are we really praising God? If we are, then that is perfectly acceptable to say. But if we're not, if we're just using it just flippantly as something that is not of any account, of any importance that relates to God, then we are violating this principle behind this instruction here. Also, what we need to do is we need to be careful about using euphemisms. Now, when we think about a euphemism and what a euphemism is, that it is a word or a phrase that is used in place of another, but that conveys the same meaning, or a word or a phrase that's used for another, but expresses it in a milder way. Now, when we think about euphemisms, a lot of times we want to issue a blanket condemnation that all euphemisms are wrong, but we need to be careful not to do that, because the Bible, you know, we can't go to the Bible and say that all euphemisms are wrong, because there are some euphemisms that are simply have nothing to do with right or wrong. There's just a milder way of saying something. If someone dies, and we might not want to say, because it sounds too blunt or too harsh, to say, well, that person died, we might say they passed away. Well, that's a euphemism. Genesis 25 and verse 8 is an example of a euphemism where it says that Abraham died, he was gathered to his people. That's a euphemism for death. And so this is simply a milder way to state the same thing and to make the same point. But it's a way that's not as blunt as to say that, well, Abraham died, or my grandmother died, or his spouse died. This is a milder way to say this and say, well, that person passed away. Or, as was common there in Genesis, that person was gathered to his people. It means the same thing, but it's a milder way of saying it. And so we need to be careful with the words that we use, even these euphemisms. As I said, not all euphemisms are wrong, but they can be wrong. And so we need to understand, well, what if some are wrong and some are not wrong? Then what should we be avoiding? What do we need to be careful with? And so I want to offer three examples. One of something that is not a euphemism, one that is something that could be described as an acceptable euphemism, and an example of an unacceptable euphemism. And so the first example, one that is not a euphemism, that someone in a moment of surprise, someone might say a curse word, someone might take the name of God in vain when something happens that shocks them, surprises them, or whatever it is, they might utter a curse word. They might take the name of God in vain. Someone else over here says wow or whoa or something like that. They offer some exclamation, but it's not a curse word. It's not taking the name of God in vain. In that example, the person who says wow is not using a euphemism. That is instead of what the other person is saying, but it doesn't mean the same thing. And so because it doesn't mean the same thing, it is not a euphemism. It is simply a proper way to express their surprise in that occasion. And so because it is not a euphemism, that someone over here may say a curse word. Someone over here may use God's name in vain. Well, we're not doing that. We're saying wow instead. Well, it doesn't mean what the other means. And so it is acceptable to say in that situation. Now, another example of an appropriate euphemism, and this is one that we talked about. When someone dies, one person may say that he died. Another person may say he passed away. Now, passed away, as we talked about, is a euphemism. That it is a milder way of saying, of expressing the thought behind what we're trying to express, what we're trying to say, that this person died. It is a milder or a softer way of saying that. But it means the same thing, that this person passed away, this person died, or in the Old Testament, this person was gathered to his people. All of those mean the same thing. But to say someone died a lot of times is more blunt than saying he passed away. And so when we're talking with different people, particularly with someone who just recently lost a loved one, we might express condolences that their loved one passed away and not use the language that we're sorry that their loved one died. They mean the same thing, but one is a softer way of saying it or a milder way of saying it. But in that occasion, since saying this person died is too blunt in some circumstances, it is appropriate to say that he passed away. Well, why is it appropriate? Because it's not wrong to say that so-and-so died. That is not wrong to say. And so these things mean the same thing, but neither one is wrong. One just is too blunt or too harsh in certain circumstances, and so we're going to use the euphemism. We're going to say he passed away. And so we're going to use that. And so one is not wrong, but it just may not be what we want to say it in a certain circumstance, and so we'll use the other. And so passed away, while it is a euphemism, it is appropriate. It is something that it can be said. Now, an example of an inappropriate euphemism that relates to what we're talking about here. One person takes the name of the Lord in vain, and then another person says, and this is common that we hear, someone says, "Oh my gosh." Now, there are a lot of other variations of that, a lot of other words that can be used in place of that, but this is probably the most common one that we hear people use, that someone will say that in place of saying the name of God in vain. Now, when we look at this, that word gosh is a euphemism, just as saying someone passed away is a euphemism. But this word here is an otherwise meaningless word. This word doesn't mean anything. When you talk about my gosh, or if you use that language, or if I use that language, I don't have something that's called a gosh. I don't have my gosh that I'm talking about. That this is a meaningless word that is simply used in place of another word, in this case, God, that we're using that in place of that. But because it is an otherwise meaningless word and used in place of it, it takes on the meaning of the other word. And so then, regardless of the intention, the meaning expressed is the same, that we're taking the name of God in vain, and this person over here is saying this other, is saying, "Oh my gosh," instead of taking the name of God in vain. Well, the meaning expressed is the same thing. And so because of that, because the meaning expressed is the same thing, it's not a word used in place that has a different meaning, like we talked about in the first example, someone saying wow instead of uttering a curse word. Well, they're used in place of one another, but they mean different things. Here, they're used in place of one another, but the one word has no meaning at all. And so it is taking on the meaning of the other. And because taking the name of the Lord in vain is wrong, that would make this other wrong and inappropriate as well. And I know there are a lot of other examples that we can look at or different words. And if anyone has any questions about, well, what do you think about this word? Is this okay to use or not okay to use? I'd be happy to talk to anyone afterwards and answer any questions. But this is basically, I wanted to provide a framework, a way of thinking about these things, to think that, okay, if I say this, is this a euphemism? And if it is a euphemism, is it appropriate or is it inappropriate? Is what I am doing, is the speech that I'm using honoring God or is it not honoring God? And so the bottom line is that we need to be careful with our speech. We need to be careful with the things that we say. Over in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36 and 37, It says, "But I tell you that every careless word the people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Jesus is making the point here that we need to be careful with our speech. And I think a lot of times that usually when you have people taking the name of God in vain, or even if they're using euphemisms and taking the name of God in vain, a lot of times, especially with Christians, they're not thinking about it. They're not thinking that well, I don't care about the name of God, so I'm going to use the name of God here. No Christian is thinking that. No Christian is thinking that, well, I want to think to come up with some way to use the name of God in a way that would be not honoring Him. No one thinks like that. Whenever this is done in a way that, well, we just don't think about it. That we just say it and we didn't think about it, and we're just saying it because it's just a habit. That's just what we've become accustomed to saying. And as we see here from Matthew chapter 12, there is a such thing as careless words or idle words. And so if what we're uttering are these idle words, we're not even thinking about them. We're just saying them, but we're not thinking about them. And then we need to train ourselves to start thinking about them and to start being more careful with what we use. That first example that I use, that, you know, someone is surprised and someone over here may say a curse word or take the name of God in vain when they're surprised. And this other person over here may say, wow, it's just something like that. It may be an unconscious reaction almost to say the other. But if that's the case, if we are just not thinking and reacting and saying this, it's because we haven't trained ourselves to say something else. And as Christians, we need to be careful that we are training ourselves that even in our speech, we are using language that honors God, that does not cause His name to be discredited or looked down upon or to be thought of by us or others as being of no importance or of no value. We need to be careful with what we say. And this means that a lot of times we're going to have to work, we're going to think about what we're saying, we're going to have to train ourselves. And if we have been in the past saying things that's just not thinking about it, saying things that would be in violation of these principles that we've talked about this morning, then it's going to take some work. But we can train ourselves out of that. We can learn to use other words or to not say anything at all and stop saying those things that would fall into the categories that we've looked at here. And so as we think about these things, the reason why these lessons are important for all of us. You know, I was thinking that, you know, a lot of times with me and Rachel, we try to teach the kids, you know, you say this, you don't say this, that this is, you know, not something you need to be saying. Well, there's a reason behind that. It's not just that, well, as a parent, we don't want our kids to say this. Well, there's a reason behind it. And even as Christians, sometimes we need to be reminded of this, that there are certain things that are appropriate and some things that are inappropriate. And we need to be careful with our speech and work to train ourselves that even in a moment of surprise, even in a moment where we're just not giving much thought to it, we've trained ourselves to where we are honoring God and not doing anything that brings reproach against Him or His name. So as we close this lesson, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to any who need to respond to it. We've talked about this morning the fact that we are to honor God, and that means treating His name as holy and reverent. But as we looked at in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, we've talked about a specific way we honor God. But the general way is because we fear God, we honor Him, we keep His commandments. And this is true for everything that we do. And so as we extend the invitation, we want to remind each of us that we need to be focused on fearing God and keeping His commandments. And if you're here this morning and are not yet a Christian, then you need to become one. And if you believe that Jesus is the Christ and you're willing to repent of your sins and confess your faith, you could be baptized to have your sins washed away. If you've done that and have gone back into sin, you've allowed the world to influence you and you haven't lived as the Lord wants you to, or you have one sin in your life that needs to be repented of, whatever it is, you need to repent of that as a child of God and pray to Him and ask for forgiveness, and He will forgive you. And if we can be of any help to you, we'd be more than happy to do that. But whatever your need is, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.